This morning we continue a series that we began last week talking about God and the fact that He is faithful. God is faithful. It's a message that I believe that we all need to hear. It's a message I need to hear right now in preparation as we're moving forward in these last weeks of the church here at Gateway. It's something that we need to be reminded of. And it reminded me of a revival story in 1905. In Wales, there was a young minister there who was named Evan Roberts. He was 26 years old, and he asked for leave to go home to preach in his small town one particular weekend. And apparently, according to records, there were 17 in attendance in the church that day, and he preached this message that had 4 points. He said, first, we need to confess any known sin to God and cut away any wrong done to others. Second, his point was, put away any doubtful habit. Third, he said, obey the Holy Spirit promptly. And then fourth, he said, confess faith in Christ openly. According to historians, that began a revival in Wales that brought 100,000 people to be baptized over the next few months. And one historian has tried to debunk the story, saying, well, surely it must not have happened because 5 years later, only 80,000 are still faithful. 80% out of the 100,000 seems like pretty good odds now as we see people becoming Christians. And I thought of that story because we really are Christians today because of Christians from the past, because of revivals of the past, because of our parents, because of history unbeknownst to us. Evan Roberts, who we may not even be aware of, who has impacted Christianity in America in a major way. God is faithful. Because of that time then, we now have faith today. And so we believe that God is faithful as we see all the way through Scripture. And we want to look at this story for a few minutes, a story of Moses. But I don't really want to think of it in terms of Moses. I would rather us get into the mindset of Miriam. And what I want to do is I want to put Miriam as sort of like a character, right? I know that she's a real person in the story, and I'll talk about her as a real person. But I also want us to think of our being Miriam, right? Miriam representing something. Miriam representing Israel on one hand, and then Miriam representing you and I on the other hand. Does that make sense? So as we think through the story, I want you to continue to come back to this idea that you are Miriam, and how are you relating in this story with Moses and Miriam? So we have these characters, and I could have picked any number of characters really from this story. We have Shifra and Puah, who we didn't read about. These are the two ladies who kept Moses and other boys safe because Pharaoh had told them you need to kill all the baby boys in Egypt during this time. So we could have talked to, from their perspective. We could have talked about this story from the perspective of Moses' mother, who certainly kept him safe for 3 months or so, and even longer after that. We could have talked about this from the servant girls who went and got the basket that Moses was laying in. We could talk about it from their perspective, or we could have even talked about it from Pharaoh's daughter's perspective, right? We can look at it from any number of perspectives, but I want to use Miriam, Moses' older sister, as this woman of faith, this character who is representing Israel, who's representing us, and really recognizing that God is faithful to Miriam. God is faithful to her. He takes care of her. He helps her to make it through. In fact, she becomes a great leader in Israel. It is no surprise to me as I read through this story that Miriam will be one of the top three leaders in Israel in a powerful way in the days ahead. Unbeknownst to her at this moment in her life, but she will become a great woman. But she currently represents an outcast. She represents a slave labor people, a slave labor force. She represents a group of people who will no longer have sons because Pharaoh is going to kill them. She represents women in that society who will not have husbands to marry. who will not have brothers, no counterparts. You see, she represents a family who actually has a son born to it during this decree. And so as we go back through the story, I want you to think about two particular questions. First, who saved Moses? And then the second question, what character trait is seen in this text? And so let us read Exodus 2, 1 through 3 again. Now a man of the tribe of Levi married a Levite woman, and she became pregnant and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him, coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. And then Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her female slave to get it. She opened it and saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. "This is one of those Hebrew babies," she said. And then his sister asked Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get one of the Hebrew women to nurse the baby for you?" "Yes, go," she answered. So the girl went and got the baby's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse him for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she took him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses, saying, "I drew him out of the water." And so the first question that we're asking in this passage is, who saved Moses? Who saved him? Well, some of you are going to say God, the right answer always in church, right? God saved Moses, right? He put the right people in place to save him. Others of you might say, well, Moses' mother saved him because she didn't immediately kill him when a boy came out. Others might say, well, Miriam, you know, if she wouldn't have been there watching over the child, that's who saved him. Or others still, Shifra and Pua, or the servant girl, or Pharaoh's daughter. You see, all these answers are correct in the sense that all of these players had part in saving Moses. But God is faithful in providing those characters to be in the life of Moses at that moment. And so there's a sense in which Miriam saves Moses, right? It's a Miriam, but it is God working through Miriam. We want to think about what single character trait do we see in this text? Some of you might say that we see love, right? A parent's love for a child. You might say compassion. This Pharaoh's daughter feeling this compassion or care for this child who's here. Still, others might go a different direction. You might say that the character trait is sadness and grief. And you look at this story, you say, this is horrible that someone have to live at this time period. How horrible that is at this moment in Scripture. Others might say that the character trait is hate and evil. I mean, there's this evil man in the story. He's not directly in the story, but he's in the background of the story. This evil man who's wanting to kill all the baby boys. I mean, there's this evil that is there. But when I read the story, the character trait that I see in Miriam is courage. Here is Miriam who has a great deal of courage. In fact, it's an amazing amount of courage to step up and to ask Pharaoh's daughter, "Hey, do you want me to find somebody to nurse this child for you? You want me to find one of the Hebrew women?" But it's not just Miriam, though, right? It's all the characters, right? It's all the characters that the Miriam represents. It's the courage of these Shifra and Pua who don't kill the baby boys. It's the courage of the servant girls to open up this basket that's in the Nile River. It's the courage of Pharaoh's daughter to go to Pharaoh who said, "No, all the baby boys are supposed to be killed." It's the courage of all the women in our story. It's the courage of Moses' mother herself. It is courage that I see in this story. Right? Because these women, all women, are courageous. And so the first point I want to make this morning is living courageously connects you to God's faithfulness. Living courageously connects you to God's faithfulness. What I mean to say is that Miriam's willingness to have courage, to take steps of faith, allows her the opportunity to say, "Oh, that's God." Because she is willing to take steps of faith, she is able to see what God is doing. In fact, the complete opposite is also true. When we are unwilling to take steps of faith, when we are unwilling to step out and to go forward with God, then we do not see God. We won't see Him. We won't hear Him. We'll say, "There is no God." Surely God is not in this place. When we are unwilling to be courageous enough to say, you know what? God is real, and I'm going to take steps of faith. Then we start to see God. We start to see opportunities that God is providing for us, and we start to be a part of God's work. So we see Moses' mother right here. She hides her son until she can do it no longer. So she makes this basket, she puts pitch and tar, and she prepares that basket. And some of you may have heard before, the Hebrew word here for basket is the same Hebrew word used in the Noah story. Can you imagine what the word is? It's the word ark. The same word is used here. The ark is what she puts her son in. A basket or an ark, literally, that she builds for her son. You may remember in 1 Peter chapter 1, where it talks about, or Peter compares the Noah story and how his family was saved through the water of the Noah story, how he was saved through water and baptism that has also saved you. Not the removal of dirt from the body, but a pledge of a good conscience to God. So, just as Jesus was raised from the dead, we are raised from the dead in baptism. Just as Moses is quite literally raised up from that basket, out of the water. He is raised from the dead. He is left for dead, and he is raised up. You see the significance? Right? Moses' mother hides her son in an ark. And it makes me think that there's cosmic significance to this story. Why? Because it connects Noah with Moses with Jesus. There's like cosmic significance. There's something big happening here, right? The salvation of this child is going to bring about something great for us. In fact, God is, and his faithfulness will be seen through the Moses story. However, in order to see the faithfulness of God at work, it took courage. It took courage for Moses' mother. Listen, it would have taken a lot of courage for Miriam to go up to Pharaoh's daughter like she did. She's standing over there in the reed. She's watching this whole thing go down. I mean, there are other stories in the Bible where individuals would go before the king and they could actually be killed for going before the king without permission. It may have been very similar here with Pharaoh's daughter. She may have had bodyguards around her, but yet Miriam has enough courage to act. She has enough courage to speak up. And that courage quite literally brought about Miriam's salvation. Her little brother would lead them out of Egypt. You see, her courage in that day brought about her salvation in the days to come. I mean, the scripture tells us that Moses' mom is going to get paid to take care of her own son. I mean, think about that, how that works, right? When we have enough courage to act in faith with God, sometimes God brings about something so amazing, right? At first, in the morning, I'm afraid my child is going to be lost. All hope is gone. God, please take care of my child. You prepare the ark. You put it into the Nile. There it is. And it's floating there in the reeds. Probably not like the kids' story cartoon version where it's going down through the rapids. It's probably not like that. Crocodiles almost catching it. It's sitting there in the Nile River, right? We see the significance of that moment, right? That the basket's there. And then Miriam says, hey, do you want me to find somebody to take care of this child? And lo and behold, Miriam brings her mother. And now her mother's being paid to take care of her son. You see how great God is, how faithful God is. It probably forever changes Moses' family. It forever changed that family. It is not surprising to me later in the story why Aaron and Miriam have such a powerful voice in Israel. Why? Their family has more money than the other families. Why? Because Pharaoh himself is paying them. He's helping them out in this. Man, there must be some cosmic significance regarding this event with Moses in the river. Why? Because God somehow protects them and provides for them through what seems like an impossible situation. You know, Stephen before his death in the New Testament. He's one of the ones who tells, it's like he goes through the whole Israelite history right before they stone him to death. And Stephen, before his death, connects this story with the faith of Moses' mother. He says, man, Moses' mother must have had some kind of faith. And also in Hebrews chapter 11, this story is connected with faith. Being sure of something we hope for and certain of something we do not see. You see, Miriam has faith. Moses' mother has faith. There's faith in this story. They're stepping out in faith. And what happens? God provides something. God does something. I want to say this, is sometimes when we're having a lot of trouble and we pray to God, God brings about a time of rest in the midst of that trouble. He brings about just a time of being able to breathe. But eventually this story comes to a head, and Moses is going to still be taken from his family. But for a time, you've got to imagine that Moses' mother is like, it's like yesterday. It's like nothing has changed except for now we have more money in our pocket. But a day will come, this is no longer her child. Right? And the same thing happens in faith. We step out in faith and something happens, but it's not like everything goes better in our life. There's always hardship. There's going to be tough days ahead. And it surely is true also in the Moses story. But I want to look at another part of this, a couple of these verses in Exodus 2:4-7. I want you to recognize what's happening here with Pharaoh's daughter. It says that Miriam, his sister, stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. And then look at what it says. Pharaoh's daughter went down to the Nile to bathe, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. She saw the basket among the reeds. She sent her female slave to get it. She opened it. She saw the baby. He was crying, and she felt sorry for him. And then she says, this is one of the Hebrew babies, and so on and so forth. I want you to notice here the action words that Pharaoh's daughter is, how she's acting. She comes, she sees, she takes, she opens, she sends, she takes pity on him, right? There's these action words there in that passage. Now, fast forward to the end of Exodus chapter 2, verse 24-25. And I want you to recognize God when he recognizes the plight of the Israelites. Here's what it says of God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. So God looked on the Israelites and was concerned about them. So God saw, he heard, he remembered, he saw, he knew them. The same type of quick, rapid verbs are used here later in the chapter. It makes me think that in some way, Pharaoh's daughter in this story is acting in line with God. Pharaoh's daughter and God are in the same line. They are acting together. They're both the actors in this story. They're both the action-oriented people. And so we see that the author has put these two things together. And in that we see God is faithful. He is using the enemy's daughter to save forever these oppressed people. Is that not amazing? How God is faithful. God works. He can work through your worst enemy. Do you know that? He works through your worst enemy. He can work through your worst job. He can work through your worst year of your life. He can work through the worst news that you have ever received, because God is faithful. Miriam's courage reunites Moses with his mother for a time. And boy, for that time, it's something great. But a day is coming when things will seem hopeless again. Maybe you've been going through your Christian life and there's days that you felt so hopeful. Like, oh man, I just love God. And you're just singing, you're praising, and you're just loving God. And maybe this isn't one of those times. Maybe it is for you. I'm not sure. Don't worry. A time is coming when you will have hope again. Why? Because God was faithful back then, and he will be faithful again. In fact, he is always faithful. Now, I think this in the story, this story of Miriam sounds a whole lot like another story, doesn't it, in the New Testament? In fact, the Hebrew Miriam is like the same root word for the name of another character in the New Testament. And actually, you wonder, like, how come there are so many of these characters in the New Testament? We don't even know all of them. We can't keep them in order. These characters named Mary. all these Marys in the New Testament. Doesn't this Miriam story sound a whole lot like the Mary story? I wonder why everybody happened to name all their kids Mary in the Israelite families. Why did they do that? It was probably because of this person named Miriam. Mary and Miriam are connected. And what's this Mary story all about? Oh, this time where this king is going to kill all the baby boys. You remember, right? He's going to kill all the baby boys. And how is this going to happen? How are we going to make it through this tough time? And then this child is born miraculously, and this child is saved by the faith of this other Miriam, Mary, who takes up her child and brings him to Egypt. And see, God brings salvation through Jesus born to Mary. When things seem hopeless, God is faithful. In fact, that's how he's been working on this time in Moses' history. He's been working on this for over 350 years. You may remember when we talked a little bit about Abraham. God told Abraham, now look, your people are going to be enslaved in Egypt for 400 years. God knew about this moment before this moment happened. When the Israelites were still blessed in Egypt, God knew that they would soon be cursed in Egypt. A king would arise and never knew the name of Joseph. That's right. Thank you. A king would arise and never knew the name of Joseph. But God is faithful, right? It seems, though, sometimes I think in my mind, is God really faithful? If he knew this, that they were going to be in all this oppression, would not God be more faithful if he chose not to ever let it happen? Any of the rest of you ever thought that? I mean, wouldn't God be more faithful if he never allowed my child to go through this? He never let my marriage go through this. He never caused me to lose a job. He never caused me to have to struggle. Would God not be more faithful? Well, I'm not sure that he would be more faithful. In fact, there's part of me that says, would we even know of God's faithfulness? If he just made everything perfect all the time, would we even know that it was God? Or would I say, well, I guess I just made all these things happen for me. I am so good. I am so great. And I also think about it from the perspective of a parent. Now, I know some of you, helicopter parenting doesn't seem to be working so well, right? I mean, it creates some bad kids sometimes. In fact, it creates some bratty kids. Like when we just let the kids, everything happens for the kids. You just take care of everything for them. They have everything they need. Sometimes it doesn't turn out so good, right? And we see that even in Israel's history. Whenever things are really good for a long period of time, what do? They turn away from God. So is God less faithful because he knows that bad things are happening? Or do we see God's faithfulness in the midst of this? You know, God's so faithful that he gives Moses a free all-tuition scholarship to this Ivy League college in Egypt, right? You never think of it that way, right? But that's how faithful God is. It's like God knows, man, Moses, I'm going to have to prepare you. You're going to have a tough childhood, but I'm going to provide for you financially. Then you're going to have to move families. You're going to have to go into Egypt, but you're going to have this great education because you're going to need that education. And then you're going to go and you're going to lead my people out of Egypt. I mean, God prepared Moses for this moment. So I want you to ask yourself two questions while I continue reading the rest of this chapter. First, what people group does Moses most identify with? And second, what one word describes Moses' character in this last section? Then we'll finish up. Exodus 2, 11 through 13 says, one day after Moses had grown up, he went out to where his own people were and he watched them at their hard labor. He saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, one of his own people. Looking this way and seeing no one, he killed the Egyptian and hid him in the sand. The next day he went out and he saw two Hebrews fighting. He asked the one in the wrong, why are you hitting your fellow Hebrew? The man said, who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you thinking of killing me as you killed that Egyptian? Then Moses was afraid and thought, what I did must have become known. And when Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses. But Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian, where he sat down by a well. Now a priest of Midian had seven daughters, and they came to draw water and fill the troughs to water their father's flock. Some shepherds came along and drove them away, but Moses got up, came to their rescue, and watered their flock. When the girls returned to Reuel, their father, he asked them, "Why have you returned so early today?" They answered, "An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds. He even drew water for us and watered the flock." "And where is he?" Reuel asked his daughters. "Why did you leave him?" "Invite him to have something to eat." And so the last point I want to make is this. Living justly reveals God's faithfulness. Living justly reveals God's faithfulness. You may notice here, Moses from the very beginning, right? Our first question is like, who is Moses interested in? From the very beginning, he's interested in the Israelites. He recognizes his people. It's not like the movie, right? Where it's like, oh, I'm an Israelite. I never knew it. Oh, and then the Pharaoh finds out he's a Hebrew. I didn't know that he was a Hebrew. Let's kill him. That's not how it really works out. He always knew where he came from. In fact, there's a sense in which his greatest characteristic is because he knew where he was from. And what's his greatest characteristic? Justice, right? Living justly reveals God's faithfulness. So quickly, as we go through three stories of Moses here, we see Moses. He strikes down this Egyptian, right? And we see that he acts justly in this, right? He sees this Egyptian beating this Hebrew, and Moses strikes him down. Why? Out of justice. Now, maybe I'm not saying it was totally okay. I'm just saying he acted out of justice. And how do we connect that? Well, actually, the word that he struck down is the same word that we hear God use when he strikes down every firstborn of Egypt in chapter 12, verse 29. The very same Hebrew word. What's the connection? I'm saying that Moses striking down this Egyptian is looking forward to a time where God will strike down every firstborn. God is going to be faithful to Israel, and what we're already sensing is Moses is going to be my man to do that, right? So then we have this second story. We have two Hebrews who are fighting with each other. And Moses, according to Stephen in Acts chapter 7, supposed that his brothers would understand that God was raising him up for a purpose. I mean, can you imagine? He's one of the only Hebrew baby boys during that time. But instead, these two say, "Who made you ruler and judge over us? Are you going to kill us like you killed that Egyptian?" And in Acts chapter 7, Stephen says, "You know why you do not recognize Jesus? Because you are just like your forefathers who did not recognize Moses." That's Stephen's message. Can you imagine why he was stoned? He says, "That's why you do not recognize Jesus is the Moses to come. He's going to raise us up. He's going to save us." And so we see again, Moses is acting justly. And then fast forward to this third intervention here of justice. Moses sees some women being harassed and comes to their aid. And the text tells us the women tell their father, "An Egyptian rescued us from the shepherds." And in the very next chapter, in Exodus chapter 3, God says, "I have heard the cry of my people and I have come to rescue them." It's the same word used, right? Just as Moses rescued these women, so as God is going to rescue Miriam. Just as Moses rescued these women, God is going to rescue Miriam through Moses. You see, God is the great rescuer, but God uses Moses, and God uses Miriam, and God uses Moses' mother, and God uses Shifra and Pua, and God uses you. And you say, and we say to ourselves, how do we know God is faithful? Do you not see? It's in all of us. It is in our faithfulness that God is faithful. When we are faithful, it's not because of how great we are. It is because of how great God is. And so often in the church, we're focused on our faithfulness and how faithful we have to be, almost as if we can earn our way to His faithfulness, as if His glory is so beyond us. We can never earn our way there, not by our faithfulness, not by our work. But when we see faithfulness in each other, when we see faithfulness in Moses, when we see God interacting in the Moses story, we say, "Oh God, You are so faithful." Somehow, God brings about the deliverance of Israel by a child that should have been dead in the Nile River. I mean, that's an incredible God, right? So I've been focusing this morning on Miriam and who she is. And my hope is that you can see yourself in her, that you and I both need to be delivered. You and I need a Savior to rescue us. You are counting against all hope that your belief in God is right. And you are fearful of life itself because of the oppression that you're going through, because of the hardships you're going through. And you just need to be reminded, there is a deliverer. But somehow, we mount up enough courage to believe this whole story, to actually believe it's real. And when we have courage, then we start to say, wow, God is at work in everything around me. I see Him all over the place. I see Him in, even in my enemies. I see Him in people around me at church. I see Him in the creation. I see Him everywhere. Why? Because I've taken up enough courage to believe in Him. And maybe it's when we have justice, when we speak up for the oppressed, when we give money to the poor, when we go and we aid those who are hurting, when we have justice, then we say, God is at work, not I am at work. When we go on mission trips and when we tell our neighbor about Jesus, in every instance we say, God is at work. He is faithful. And so my prayer for all of us this morning is that we will recognize that God is faithful. We see it in the Moses story, and we certainly see it in history, and we see it in our lives today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for how you deliver us, how you've delivered us from evil. Lord, the evil of sin, the evil of the evil one who's coming after us like a roaring lion, the evil that is living in some of the other people that are living around us. You have delivered us by joy and hope and peace and your glory on the cross. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.